All right. The title of my message tonight is, What Are You Saying? And this message really comes from my grandfather's book entitled Words, a little mini book entitled Words. We have it out there at the bookstore for you that are watching online. If you want to get an online version, you can go to Kindle or Apple Books or Barnes & Noble, and you can buy there, or go to Amazon, and you can get it shipped to you. But anyway, if you have your Bibles or your device, turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Matthew 12, 37 from the New King James Version says this, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You know, words make us or break us. Words heal us or make us sick. According to the Bible, words destroy us or make us full of life, happiness, and health. Our words, the words that we spoke yesterday, made life what it is today. The words that you speak are very important. And obviously, if you know the keynote scripture from my grandfather, the one that got him off the deathbed, was Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. And it talks about the words that you speak. It says this, "For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, in this verse, the word saying is there three times. You know, it says that whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Three times Jesus told his disciples to say it. Only one time does he actually use the word believe. Now, it is important to both say it and believing it, but I think that when you emphasize something, that it's pretty important. But the last part of this verse says, he will have whatever he says. Notice that? You're going to have whatever you say. You could read it like this, he shall have whatever the words that he speaks. Whatever the words you speak, you're going to have, but those words affect us both positively and negatively. So what are the words that are coming out of your mouth? What are the words that you're speaking? Because do you want to have those words, or are you just saying them? Because so many people say a lot of negative words. Now, Proverbs 18:21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." All right, so do you want to have the words that you're speaking? There's a teaching by Terry Savelle Foy, who is the youngest daughter of Jerry Savelle, and I really like what she says. She says, words can be powerful, put them into action, and they can be life-changing. If you're wondering if your words are helping or hurting, you practice saying this phrase after any statement you make, and that's the way I want it. So whenever you say a statement like, I'll never get out of debt, and that's the way I want it. All right? I'll never get a raise, and that's the way I want it. No matter what I do, I can't lose weight, and that's the way I want it. I can never live in a house that big, and that's the way I want it. If it's not the way you want it, then don't speak it. And I tell you, if you'll practice that, you'll quit saying things that you don't want. You know, now maybe you're saying that I want to eat that pie, and that's the way I want it. That's okay if you're not trying to lose weight, maybe, you know. But the point is so many times we say words that we don't want. Now, I am online quite a bit, primarily on Facebook, but I do read other social media, Twitter and Instagram. There's been a lot of words that I've seen a lot of Christians say that they don't want it that way. They're talking about how bad the economy is. They're talking about this. They're talking about that. And they're speaking words that are not life words. The words that you speak can bring forth life or death. What are the words that you're speaking? And do you want those things? Because you need to decide. I will say that now, actually, the teaching that about that's the way I want it. Tommy Pickens, During camp meeting, he shared Terry Savelle's teaching, and that's the first time I heard it. And I don't know how many times I've actually added that to some things my wife has been saying here this week, or this past couple of days. She didn't hear Tommy's message, and so she'll say something. I said, and that's the way you want it. She goes, well, I don't want it that way. Then don't say it. All right, so, you know, it's a pretty cool thing because it'll help you understand that. Kind of talking in the same vein, I remember for a long time when I was a kid, I don't know, about every October or so, I would come down with the flu. And you know the first thing I would say? I only get the flu one time a year. I only get the flu one time a year, you know, so let me take some NyQuil or, you know, whatever I need to take, and then I won't have the flu the rest of the year. I'll only get it one time a year. Well, thank God that when I was 12 or 13, because of the teaching that I've thought, actually, I said those words. I came down, I had a fever, started having flu-type symptoms. This is back when people actually had the flu. Okay, I know it's a long time ago. It's been 2 or 3 years since anyone had the flu. You know, this is the ordinary flu, okay? And I got to remind you what the flu was like. But anyway, so I would say that, you know, I remember like 12 or 13. I remember this as clear as anything. I said, well, it's my time of year to get the flu. I only get the flu once a year. And as soon as I said that, something checked me on the inside. Why am I going to have the flu one time a year? I mean, because, you know, I don't know how many times that I've talked about this, that any time that I asked my grandfather a spiritual question, he would ask me a question, what does the word say? That was what he'd always say. What does the word say? And then I would tell him the scripture because I can quote most of the scriptures, not all the scriptures he can quote, but quite a bit. Well, the word says in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. It doesn't say by whose stripe you're going to get the flu once a year. Now, when it says you were healed, it doesn't even specify, you know, a list of diseases. It just says you were healed from everything. So, you know, you assume that that's you were healed from everything. Now, if you know the word were is past tense word, meaning I have already been. So basically, according to the word, I have already been healed of the flu or any kind of sickness or disease that I'll ever get. And so I quit doing the flu after that. Now, I will say this. I know some people say, well, I get my flu shot every year. I did get my flu shot one time, and the flu tried to come on me. So no more flu shots. I don't get flu shots. I don't do flu shots. I don't do the flu. I don't do COVID. I don't do sickness. I don't do disease. I have decided not to do those things because the Bible says I was healed. It doesn't say, well, maybe I'm healed. It doesn't say if I pray enough or believe God enough, I'm going to be healed. It says, by his stripes, I was healed. I'm going to take God at his word. In fact, you know what? It wasn't just God's word. It was the, you know, you've heard your mom say, actions speak louder than words. Well, Jesus did the action. He took the stripes on his back. And then he died upon the cross. And then he went to hell and defeated Satan in the grave and took away the keys. And so now I have dominion, and I don't have to be sick. All right? But here's the thing. I will say, speaking those words, so many times, whenever you get a fever, you just say, oh, I'm sick. How many times have you said, I'm not feeling good? I will say, I used to be guilty all the time. I mean, a lot. I'm gonna pick on myself because I'm not going to pick on you. I don't know how many times I would say, I'm tired. Man, I'm so tired today. I mean, I would catch myself a lot. I'm tired. And finally, I got tired of being tired, so I decided to quit being tired and start not being tired. I quit saying I was tired, you know, because, and that's the way I want it. That's not the way I want it. I don't want to be tired. Now, there's sometimes, obviously, your body gets tired, but what does the word say? It says he will quicken our mortal bodies. All right? So, you know, the thing is that a lot of times we choose to have something because of the words that we speak. You know, sometimes we choose to have it because of the fear that we have, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, like something else, some people always say, well, I don't ever have enough money, and that's the way you want it. You know, at the end of the month, you know, I'm always short, and that's the way you want it. But what does God's word say? What does God's word say? So if I'm saying I don't have enough money, I'm actually being contrary to God's word. Because God's word, and we all know the scripture, Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So for me to say that God's not supplying my need is anti-God's word. So when we speak those words, when we speak those death words, we're actually speaking anti what God's word says. If we really believe God's word, then we should speak that I am healed and, you know, God is providing all my need. He has provided everything that I need. Now, that's just not a financial thing. He provides everything you need. You know, because some people, you know, think it's a financial, but no, what do you need? Now, sometimes the reason that we don't have, the Bible says we have not because we ask not, ask what we will and shall be done. All right, so, you know, sometimes we don't have it because we don't ask for it. He can't meet your need if you don't tell him what it is. All right, so whenever I was reading from my grandfather's book, Words, and he says this, obviously, most of you probably know, if you don't, that my grandfather was born with a deformed heart and a blood disease. And the doctors told him if his heart was completely normal, the blood disease alone would kill him. And when he turned 16, he became partially paralyzed and basically was told he was going to die. But he didn't die because he got a hold of Mark 11:23-24. And so he says in this book and in many other books, he says, when I received the revelation of God's word, I began acting on Mark 11:23-24, saying, I believe. Words were spoken. I said, I believe I receive my healing for my deformed heart. I believe I receive healing for the incurable blood disease. I believe I receive healing for the paralysis. I believe I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And within the hour, I was standing on my feet. Within the hour. Now, this was a young man that really didn't have any training. You know, he hadn't read any books on healing. You know, some of you sitting out there, you know, have read, you know, hundreds of books or dozen of books and heard hundreds of messages. He hadn't heard anything. Thank God he got a hold of the word. That's why he's I'm a stickler for the word. What does the word of God say? The word of God says that whatever you say, you can have. And he began to speak life into his life. He began to say, I don't want to have a blood disease. I don't want to have a deformed heart. I don't want to have paralysis. I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And within the hour, he was standing on his feet. I mean, you know, he says this, I had learned the secret of words, faith words. Man, what if you would learn the secret to words? You know, I know this sounds really basic, but it seems that over the last few months that we've forgotten about what God's word does say. We forget about speaking, you know, positive things. Now, in this book, Words, he also talks about children are a product of the words that we speak. And he has a whole thing, and he talks about, you know, words heal us or make us sick. Words bless us or curse us. And he talked about that the atmosphere, and I've sensed it before. Have you ever walked into a room and you can tell that people were arguing? You can just feel it. There's something about, you can just feel the tension in the air. You know, and so he says this, the words that I hear in the morning will linger with me all throughout the day. you know, how little wives may realize that a biting, stinging word in the morning will rob a husband of efficiently of being efficient the whole day long. But a loving, tender, beautiful word, a little prayer word, will fill him with music and will lead him into victory. Learn to make words work for you. Listen to fill words with power that cannot be resisted. The way you fill words with power that cannot be resisted is to fill words with love and faith. Now, my dad, I mean, my sister will tell you the same thing. Every time, because my dad dropped us off at school, and he would say to us that Daddy loves you, Jesus loves you, and you can do anything that you want to do in life. Every day. That's the last thing that he would say. Now, sometimes if he knew that we had a test, then he would add something to it about the test or something like that, or bring it back to remember things that we studied. You know, that's one thing that my grandfather taught us. Said, you know, first of all, I got to study. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can bring back to remember things you studied. In fact, many times he would say, well, people think I have a photographic memory and I can just quote the scripture. No, I've read the scripture and the Lord will bring it back to my remembrance. Amen. You know, he'll bring that back to your remembrance. But obviously, if you didn't study, if you don't know the word, you can't, you know, bring it back out. And so, but he always say, you know, Daddy loves you, Jesus loves you, and you can do anything that you want to do. And, you know, from those words, I always assumed if I want to be president of the United States, I'm going to be president of the United States. If I want to, you know, if I want to be an inventor, I'll be an inventor. Whatever I want to do, I can do it. Because I heard those words every day. I always, you know, felt I was a successful person. And I believe it's very important that the words that we speak to our children are very important. The words that we speak in our household are very important. Are you setting forth the right atmosphere in your household? Are you setting forth the right words? Because you know what? I'm not going to quote everything he says, but he talked about, you know what? The way people are at church are not really the way they are. He says, if I want to find out how someone really is, I go visit their home unexpectedly. And he talked about where he visited a pastor's friend's home. He said, as soon as we walked in the room, we could tell that they had been arguing. We could tell. Later on, the pastor confirmed it. And, you know, talking to my grandfather about some of the things that they're going. But, you know, the deal is, what kind of atmosphere are we setting up with our words? He says this, parents need to realize that the home atmosphere is a product of words. Like I said, we talked about it, you can sense it when words were spoken. All right, you know, there are words in the air right now. Here's what he said. There are words in the air around you right now. If you don't believe it, turn on a transistor radio, he says. As we talk, this pastor, talking about that pastor, that we learn what indeed there's an agreement. He says, the lives and personalities of children brought up in that kind of atmosphere will be affected. If you bring up kids in an atmosphere where everyone's already always arguing, it's going to be affected. But he talked about how you can sense things. It's just like, have you ever, I mean, there's a lot of times if you're at a house and someone's cooking a certain thing that you can smell it. Like Brussels sprouts. Actually, for a long time, I never ate Brussels sprouts because I've smelt them. Anyone ever smelt Brussels sprouts? I don't know how many times I would come home and my wife, because one of my sons really liked Brussels sprouts, and I could smell them. As soon as I walk in the door, I could smell it. And so because I could smell it, I never tried it. It wasn't until I got on my weight loss program, I'm like, well, I'm just going to try this stupid stuff, and I actually like them. I eat a lot of vegetables that I never liked haven't tried for years. Let's put it this way. See, a lot of times, you know, you have memories when you're a kid, like, I'm not going to eat. When I grow up, I'm not going to eat that ever again. Because this wasn't, you know, some of these green leafy vegetables just didn't taste good when you were a kid. You get older, I guess your taste buds change. I don't know. But I tell you, you know, atmosphere is very, very important. He says this, mothers and dads, your home atmosphere is the product of words. Children fail because wrong words were spoken. The right words were not spoken. Why is it some families grow up strong and win life's fights? It's because the right kind of words were spoken in the home. And I think that's very important. We need to speak the right kind of words in our home. I mean, there are certain words that you don't want your kids saying, you know, and sometimes we say those words. You know, I'm guilty of saying the word stupid. So many times I even put it on the book, you know, but we tell my granddaughter, we don't tell her to use the word stupid. You know, she shouldn't use the word because people shouldn't be stupid. Some of them are, but anyway, you know, shouldn't call people stupid. It is interesting to read this. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, I'm going to read this from a New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, you know, the Bible says changing the way you think. Now, a lot of times, because the way you think is the way you speak. You understand that? Because before you speak it out, you think it in your brain. You know, like I said, when you're looking at your bank account, there's not a lot of money in it. Your brain says, I don't have any money. So your mouth says, I don't have any money. See, you think it, but the Bible says that we should transform the way we think. And if we transform the way we think, then we'll transform the way we speak. But if we don't transform the way we think, we're not transforming the way we speak. And so a lot of times we speak things that we shouldn't be thinking. He says this, he says, you think, you know, you still think like the world thinks. You think sickness, you think fear, you think doubt. Because your words speak those things. But we need to transform the way we think. And if we transform the way we think, it will transform the way we say. You know, it says you think defeat, you think failure, just like the world thinks. Get your mind renewed with the Word of God. Think in line with God's Word and believe in line with God's Word. If a person is frightened, you know, a lot of times a person that's scared, you know what they'll say? That just scared me to death. And, you know, and you like it that way. Anyway, you know, you never say that because we're not scared. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We shouldn't be scared to death. You know, just because someone jumped out and said boo, it shouldn't scare us to death. You know, we shouldn't be afraid anyway. You know, my grandfather says, I never say that. I never say I'm scared because I'm not scared. I'm not scared. You know, because I've heard a lot of people, I'm scared about the economy. I'm scared about this. I'm scared I won't have this or won't have that. Well, that's contrary to God's word because my God shall supply all your need. Even in a recession, depression, doesn't matter. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to really like having a depression or a recession, but you know what? You're also not going to like being thrown in the fiery furnace either. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things that happened in the Bible people didn't like, but they came out of it. They made it. They survived. Why did they survive? Because they trusted God. How are you going to survive? You're going to trust God. Just that simple. But one way we need to start speaking what we want to have. All right. He says this. He says, if I'm tempted to be fearful, I say, fear, I resist you in Jesus' name. I refuse to fear. If doubt comes, I speak to it. Doubt, I resist you in Jesus' name. I refuse to doubt. And that's why I do the same thing. You know, I don't fear. I don't doubt. I don't worry. Why? Well, God says not to, but see, the great thing about it is when you have somebody that shows the example, it's so much easier to do it. And I traveled, you know, with my grandfather, well, most all of my life. And, you know, I watched him. He never worried about stuff. So if he's not worried, why should I worry? Why should I worry? You know, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be upset about. I know what God's word says. That was the great thing about it. From a young age, I always know what the word of God said. Now, because I know what God's word said, I could always, you know, quote it. I mean, you know, it's just that simple. You know, he talks about, I never talk sickness. I don't believe in sickness. I talk health. And I'm the same way. I don't talk failure because I don't believe in failure. I believe in success. Don't talk about what the devil's doing. Talk about how good God is. You know, sometimes we talk more about what the devil's doing than what God's doing. All right? You know, he says this, I've been tempted to worry just like everybody else, but I don't worry. I never talk discouragement. I never talk worry. I never talk defeat. Now, this is a great statement. I love this. He says, you know, some people get delivered from smoking cigarettes, and some people get delivered from drinking whiskey. All right, some of you might be like that. But I wish Christian people would get delivered from the biggest sin, a greater sin than smoking cigarettes or drinking whiskey. Now, this might be controversial, but it's the sin of worry. You know, maybe someone needs to come up here and give a testimony how they got delivered from the sin of worry. Because that's even bigger than other sins. And in fact, worry, well, he says it in here. He says, I said, a lot of people are so proud. They say, I don't smoke. God delivered me from that. Well, I wish they would be delivered from that big sin they have in their life. The sin of worry is worse than smoking a cigarette. Smoking and drinking are wrong. I don't want to do either one of them. They're both bad habits, but worry is worse. Worry will kill you. More than one doctor has said that there are more people in mental institutions because of worry than any other thing. Worry will drive you insane. When people have mental breakdowns, it's usually because of worry. Something they're worried about. You know, but the Bible clearly tells us not to worry about anything or have any anxiety. Do you realize anxiety is a problem in the United States of America? We have more people on anxiety medications, that was pre-pandemic, than ever before. And during the pandemic, more people got on anxiety medication. I'm sure, you know, we don't have anything to worry about. We need to get on God's medication. We need to know what the Word of God says. You know, and what the Word of God says in 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Most of you know that. The New Living says it this way, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. So it says we've already won a victory. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. So you know what? The greater one is in me. The greater one, you know, is he that is in you. And he's greater than the world. So he's greater than sickness. He's greater than tragedy. He's greater than worry. He's greater than lack. So instead of speaking about how bad it is, talk about how great your God is. Or, you know, there's a song, how great is my God. You know, the world talks about sickness and disease, but the greater one is in us. It's the sickness and disease is in the world. Worry is in the world. All of these things are in the world. You know, adverse circumstances is in the world. All the trouble is in the world. But we are greater than the world. We've already won the victory. But see, that's a confession through our words. We have to speak the right words. All right? They're the kind of words we need to be speaking. Words are very important. What we say, we can have. Faith is always expressed in the words. Faith must be released in the words through our mouth. You know, we've read many scriptures, and it says, what are you saying? What are you saying? What do you want? What do you want? Because whatever you want in life or whatever you're having in life is a result from what you're saying. Many people say the right thing one day, and the next day that, I mean, you know, maybe they say the right thing here in church because they get all excited. And 2 days later, when they open up a bill, they begin to speak the things of the world. Well, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. And I get it. Maybe you don't know how you're going to pay that. But that's when you look at it and you say, well, thank God. Thank God I know God. I mean, I feel sorry for people who don't know God during today's day and age. Because if you don't know how good your God is, if you don't know what the Bible says. See, I have scriptures for everything. Every time that there's an issue, I have a scripture for that. And that's the thing. I know the scripture. I know what God's word says. You know, and it's interesting because there are so many times still today I've thought to myself about, you know, I wish my grandfather was there so I could ask him a question. Then all of a sudden I would hear, what does the word say? Because that's the only answer he's going to give me anyway. So really, him being here would be useless anyway because he's just going to tell me what the word says. Now, the only thing that he could do was then give me an example how in 1946, and you know how brother so-and-so did this and that and whatever, and you know, so he would give me that, you know, some example. But really, he would always ask me the question, what does the word say? Now, if I know what the word says, why am I not speaking that way? The reason I'm not speaking that way is because I really haven't got a hold of what the word says. I really haven't got a hold. Now, I say I got a hold of it, but if I really got a hold of it, I wouldn't talk that way. All right. So, just to finish off what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, he said, you will have whatever you say. So what are you saying? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify you. Father God, help us in every situation say the right things. Father, we thank you that every time that we say something that's contrary to God's word, we thank you that you'll check us on the inside and we'll say, I'm sorry, I don't mean it that way because I don't want to have it that way. We thank you, Father, that you'll help us speak life words in our house. Speak life words, you know, to our children. Speak life words to our husbands and wife. Speak life words to the people that we work with. Speak life words to ourselves, Father. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.